Thanks for joining us. I'm Dale Menyo. This is the Ohio AgNet. We are at the Ohio State University, and today we're checking in on the folks at Grow Next Gen. And as you know, Grow Next Gen is a project of the Ohio Soybean Council and your Soybean Checkoff. It has many different facets that we've covered already. On today's update, we're going to talk about chickenology. Don't know how they come up with the names, but it seems to work. And joining me first will be Brian Ackert from Danville High School. He teaches high school classes in biology, chemistry, and other things. Erica Heituzen is in the Worthington Middle School. And roughly how many, Brian, are in the class program that you guys are participating in today?
I think we have about 14.
14 or so, okay. And first, let's continue from there. How did you find out about chickenology, and what's your reaction so far?
So I initially learned about this. I went to a workshop earlier in the year that was put on during the summer, and chickenology was one of them that was presented. And knowing that I have a lot of my students who actually have chicken barns in their family, knew that this was a lot to do with genetics that I do a lot of, thought that would be a great tie-in with my kids locally in our county, whether it's they own those or they work in those barns. And so the workshop, you know, has been amazing so far. You know, we've gone through just five of the 10 lessons, and every one of them either ties directly to what I do or something that I want to do in the future, and it would be very engaging to the students.
So your students, do you know, are these poultry houses, are they layers, or are they broilers?
Both.
Both. So, okay, so you've got both capabilities there, but we're still looking at basically, unless you know the difference or the age, they look pretty much the same. So did the name draw you in, or what drew you into this of all the other projects that are out there?
I think just the name catches you, because that does catch you, what's this all about? But I think just the idea that we could try to make the learning real to the students, something that they can relate to, any way to draw them into the ag industry. You know, we've learned that, you know, one out of every seven jobs in Ohio are in agriculture, and it's not just the farmers. And so if I can get my kids interested in that, that's certainly going to benefit them in the future. We're like, many of the students don't know what they want to do. And there's so many jobs out there in our area, in our state, that relate to agriculture.
Yeah, and of course our sponsor is involved, the Ohio Soybean Council, because they know that livestock is a big consumer of their soybean product. So it's great to know that kids are seeing this opportunity and looking at. Now you see the big side of the operations. Erica is with us. Erica is from the Worthington School System, teaches middle school. Do you know how many of your students you run into that have backyard poultry flocks at home?
Oh, maybe less than 1%, okay. If that.
But a few have experienced that, you know, they've got some chickens in the backyard, and they're either liking chickens or like gathering the eggs or something about that.
Yeah, I think mostly my students like eating eggs. So I'm coming from that point, and I'm not from the ag area. I didn't grow up on a farm, but living in Ohio and knowing how important the agricultural aspect is important to Ohio's economy, and knowing where my students are, they're going to be heading out someday soon. I only see them as eighth graders right now. I love the opportunity to get in touch with a huge part of the economy in Ohio and bring it to my kids who probably don't really get out of Columbus and don't see these poultry barns or many aspects of the agricultural lands and here in Ohio where we all live and we depend on and really important part of the economy. So I have to teach the Ohio standards, and I'm always looking for good, solid ways to make it better and relatable and relevant and help students think about what can I do with this information and in the future. So what I love about these kinds of experiences for me as a teacher is it helps me be a better teacher and helps me learn more about Ohio and what I can offer my students. So chickenology is a pretty catchy name. I don't know. When I was looking at my inbox and looking for good, solid, like free teacher professional development over the summer, the name definitely grabbed my attention. I have backyard chickens here in Columbus, 10 minutes from here. And so I have a personal interest, but also all my kids, I know they love to eat. And we are pretty disconnected here in Columbus about where our food comes from and how my engineers could be connected to the industry, or how my animal science lovers could be connected to the industry, or how my geneticists could be potentially connected to the industry. So, and who doesn't love dinosaurs? I mean, we started off today talking about how chickens are related to dinosaurs. There's not much of a better grabber for middle school science students than that. So this has been a really amazing day.
See, I thought you would have started with chicken nuggets.
We haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, well, but I mean, just think about those. So what kind of chickens do you have in your backyard? You got Rhode Island Reds? You have fancy birds?
I have 7 girls. We traded our rooster, because I'm not supposed to have roosters in Columbus, apparently. I have 1 light Brahma. She was our trade. I have 2 Starlight Easter Eggers. Love them. And then I have 2 Isa Browns, and then 2 Rhode Island Reds.
Okay, so all those are hens.
Yep.
Okay, so they're all past the pullet stage.
Yes, they just started laying.
Okay, so they're what, 22 to 26 weeks old?
Yes.
Something like that, okay.
Yeah.
I grew up with 6,000 cage layers at home, and our job every day was gathering eggs. And at that point, there were 6 of that size facility in our county. And that was about as big as you could, as a family operation, handle. And that was mom's business. She took care of that. And over its time period, it paid for the cattle, paid for the farm, and it did its thing. So, and then, of course, about 20 years later, all of a sudden, it wasn't the right size to be able to compete anymore. Wow. So it became a big question of how big do you get to make that fit, or are you done with poultry? So Now we have a big storage building. We can go that route. But over the years, you learned a lot about chickens and gathering eggs. And, you know, it's what you did. And you missed a lot of vacations and things because they needed every day circulation, air. You know, if you live on a rural electric system, there are times that they have to shut it down, or somebody runs over a pole that all of a sudden none of the fans or the feed systems work. So someone's got to be around to handle all those things. So it's a little different world now that you're looking at this side of it.
Yeah.
And I'm growing up saying, yeah, and you said you loved eggs. Well, I love the chicken. So it was, you know, it's a nice dual product for everybody.
It is.
So tell us about something that you did hands-on today that makes the chickenology worth the experience to go back, and you know your kids are going to, or your kids will want to do this exercise, this experiment, and see results that, you know, will stick with them. Who wants to go first?
Yeah, so we did an activity where we were talking about acquisition of food, beaks. And so it was a little bit with an evolution, survival of the fittest. And so we were given several different objects to pick up. We were given probably a 15-bean mixture. And we were given chopsticks or a spoon or fork, tweezers, and a paperclip. And our job was to, in 2 minutes, 60 seconds, 2 minutes, pick up as many beans.
60 seconds is 1 minute, but okay. Sorry, that's my world. So okay, so in some time between 1 and 2 minutes, you did
somewhere
what?
Around that. We were to pick up as many individual beans as we could, and put them into our stomachs, also a cup, and see which ones work best. We made a claim which ones we thought would work best before we did any of the investigation, and we spread the beans out on the table, and you picked as many as you could, and just the idea of, you know, evolution and even, you know, survival of the fittest. Darwin identified all these different beak sizes and beaks that would work with his finches, and the idea that you're trying to figure out what would Mother Nature work, what works best to pick up that bean size, or and then we were just able to see who's worked best.
So which one worked best? You're killing me.
What do you think?
I have no idea.
Well, I thought the tweezers would work best.
Okay.
I did too.
Were they too narrow to get to the bean? Did you have to stretch them or what?
Well, as it turns out, the spoon worked best in our group.
Okay.
But it was close. It was close.
Tweezers worked best at ours.
I used the paper clip. It didn't work well.
You couldn't get under them to...
I did okay.
Okay.
I didn't starve, but I
used chopsticks.
Used the chopsticks. Yeah. Were they round or flat?
Round.
So you could pick up a round bean with a round chopstick.
Very slowly.
Two of them.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's you've obviously used them before.
Mr. Miyagi.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I was going to say, because I would be pushing.
I would have starved.
I would have been doing the two. Yeah, anyway, it wouldn't have worked very well. So is this something that you'll be able to take into class and give each of them one tool and ask them to utilize it and then count beans when you get done? I mean, how do you anticipate translating that to a classroom
of
20 people?
You know, you might think that tweezers work the best, but they only work best for the big beans. Mm. And so if you only could hunt those big beans, we talked about how maybe that wouldn't be the best nutritional value. Maybe the smaller beans were better nutritional value. And you, if you couldn't get those with the tweezers, something else might have worked better. I'd even thought about maybe giving different groups different food sources where you would find that different tools, i.e. beaks, would work better for different food sources. And that's what we see in birds, not just chickens. So the idea that what we inherit and what we pass on really depends upon our environment, our food sources. And so I think that kids could take it lots of different ways, that Mother Nature really provides our food, our resources, and then we evolve to kind of match that.
Be interesting if you would then take the tweezer idea, set the tweezers out, but give them five or six different types of pliers who are all now in the same concept, and are they all just as efficient, or what becomes of now this concept works, but it's still not perfected because it's still some of the operation of it.
Sure, so. And the idea, this isn't just about chickens, it's about science and doing and inquiry and problem solving. And so letting the kids develop some of the protocols and some of the questions they might want to answer, just give them an idea and they can take it and run.
Erica, what did you take out of that same one, and was there one other different one that you would highlight?
Yeah, the natural selection one with the beaks that Brian was just talking about, same takeaway. I'm trying to think what we were talking about, variation and how that applies not just to chickens but across science. It's a very important concept in biology and understanding why some traits get passed on and some do not, and how a lot of the theme for today was how the environment, when the environment changes, how does that affect maybe food, shelter, or whatever, and how is that going to affect traits in a population? So basic science stuff that we all have to teach, but in a cool, relevant theme, but also really cool hands-on activities. So doing really cool hands-on activities today has been a major highlight and takeaway. On that note, I want to add to that. And so flipping from the science to the engineering side, the other really cool hands-on thing that we've done today that's kind of related to food is we were asked to design a gravity chicken feeder. And we're given a certain amount of materials. And, I mean, I'm thinking about it from my kids' perspectives. I have eighth graders who probably have never seen a chicken on a farm, let alone what their feeders look like. And so it involved, like, research and creating a prototype and then doing a little presentation and checking out everybody's design. And what I love about that activity today is it's super doable. I can see it doing it in my classroom. And it brings in the engineering aspect to our science classroom. And I think that goes really well with science and engineering, just go really well together. Science, getting information. Engineering, solving problems. So that was really cool.
So did you come up with a really good design in your concept?
We thought it was.
But you're not. They haven't showed us the chickens yet, so we don't know.
No. Oh, thanks for bringing that up. So what Heather said too, which I'm like, yes, totally doing this because I got a small backyard flock. She's like, call your farmer, local farmer, and have the kid's prototype be tested in the chicken yard or in the hen house. And I'm like, I'm totally taking this to my house. We're going to live cam it. And then it gives the kids a cool connection, be like, oh, I like to build stuff. I like to problem solve. I can see it in action, and just makes the learning super rich.
Yeah, anytime you can bring in something authentic.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times the learning seems so artificial.
Yeah.
And so if we can bring it in and make it authentic, if they know they're going to be building something that's actually going to be used, or maybe even critiqued by a farmer.
Yeah.
That makes it real to them. And I think a lot of kids just, they're going through the day and nothing really makes connections to the real world. And this, you know, this workshop and other workshops put on, they make the learning real, where kids can connect. And if kids are connected, they'll be engaged.
Yeah.
Sounds like a lot of fun when you get into some of those things. Are there enough, based on what you've seen, I mean, how much material do you have to be able to take back now? How long will this chickenology section last in a school year? I mean, do you have a week? Do you have 2 weeks? Depend on, I mean, how does this fit into, and you probably have to bump something you've already been doing and replace it with new material. So where does it fit in?
I think this is going to replace some stuff that I've done in the past, but it's the same topics, it's just better. So genetics and evolution is probably a third of the year of my curriculum. And this, I can see this, not going through all 10 lessons today, but I can see this easily lasting a month or more.
Yeah. Many of the lessons were, some of them are designed to be done in 45 minutes, you know, one class period. Some of them may be a 5-day, depending on the design. So the feeder that Erica was talking about was a multi-day. So you might be designing one day, you might be researching a day, you're doing your prototype, your research and development. They're not all meant to be done maybe in a calendar month. It may be something that you do at the beginning, middle, end. You're just bringing these lessons in when they fit. And I think your point is good. You know, will we be taking things out? Well, I think we're always looking to try to be more efficient. Work smarter, not harder. And I think this gives a great opportunity to supplement some lessons that may not have went as well in the past. These are really good ideas. And what I like coming to anything like this is that you take an idea that somebody else has presented and then you make it your own. Mm-hmm. And they've talked about, we are very much to take these things. This is a prototype. I mean, these are very new lessons that will eventually be given to 4-H to be used. So looking for ways to make them our own. And if I teach more upper level kids, try to make it, you know, take it to the next level for those students.
So given what you've experienced, and there's a number of things in there, and I'm not sure if you're going to get through how many more today as you do this, what would you then go back to the folks at Grow Next Gen and say, in my classroom, of all topics that I could use additional support that I don't know either enough about or that I think today's world probably needs more understanding of and hands-on in, any ideas what that is? Because you probably thought going into this year, yeah, I got my classroom all pretty, I got my curriculum, and all of a sudden somebody threw a wrench in and it's like, well, this is really kind of a cool wrench. I like this thing. So what else do you look for in your toolbox to, are there some obvious or not sure yet?
Oh, man. I love genetics and evolution as a biologist and as a teacher, and this is just giving me all kinds of great ideas. Thinking about what else, oh gosh, similar to what Brian said, these 10 lessons that we have, we can riff off of them and add stuff to them. If I was back in the high school classroom, and maybe someday I'll go back, I can see bringing in more, I mean, maybe that's what we're doing now, but more about word I'm looking for, selective breeding, and more about genetics, and maybe that, I think that's maybe what the later part of the day we're doing, because I think that's a huge field that's growing. We're learning something new every day. As a biology teacher, I try to keep reading because I can't keep up with the latest technology and science, and I think Grow Next Gen helping us teachers stay abreast with all the important stuff that's going on in the realm of genetics in agriculture, as far as finding those plants that can grow with less water or finding those animals that can get to market quicker to reduce the amount of resources.
Yeah, something I might add to, you know, what Grow Next Gen could do, we can talk and talk and talk to our students. If we can get professionals into our classroom, whether that's in person or through Zoom or however it might be, sometimes that makes another connection with the students where they're hearing it from another voice. It's not just the teacher up there. They're thinking, yeah, you've got to tell us this. But if you can bring people in from, they may even be familiar with. It's something that's inspired me to maybe bring in, I have a lot, where I'm from, we have a lot of agriculture, but not many of my kids work in the farming community. So bringing those folks in that they may know from seeing them at the supermarket or seeing them at a local restaurant that have been successful in their field, that may draw them to that career.
I'm curious in your
that idea.
In your conversation, and a lot of professionals out there would embrace the idea simply as they haven't been asked.
Yeah.
And a lot of times I'll run across and people tell me something, I can't use what I don't know about.
Yeah.
So if you've got an idea that's coming up and you haven't shared it with anybody yet, you can't expect us to report it on it. Go
Can
ahead.
I just add that? So to add to what Brian just said, getting people to come down to Columbus in their busy schedule might be difficult in person, but with the advent of Zoom and how much we all love Zoom, but it does have some really great aspects, getting people in the industry to come in live through a Zoom call to a classroom would be really cool. So I would love to connect with professionals.
How important is local, and what's the idea of local when we talk about that person? Do we need to have somebody? I mean, used to be we talked about local and your food, and they said, well, anything that we could deliver within a day on the semi. So you basically got a 500-mile range became local, where a lot of people, when they think local, they think, you know, within 5 minutes of my house. So so what type person, where do you want to hear from? Because, you know, there's a lot of industry execs around the country that could do that for a lot of places, but they really want to hear a guy from Park Farms and a guy from the local feed mill there and the equipment dealer who talks about and the farmer who's raising the soybeans, the corn, and the wheat. And do they really want to hear those guys that they might see in the grocery store, or do they care that it's a national representative somewhere?
I don't know.
I don't think that national would be that important to our kiddos. I think they might relate more to people that are from Ohio.
Yeah, agreed.
And we've talked a lot of this. You know, Ohio is the number two ranking in, you know, in eggs. And so I think if, you know, we have pride in our state. Mm-hmm. And I think that as much as anything, because they would be able to make a connection where that is. So I think that's where I think the bubble would go, would be if they were from Ohio.
Yeah, sometimes when I'm interviewing, they give me an agency, says, go to this. And I said, have you been to Ohio? And it's like, oh, yeah, we've been to the Shoe. Well, that's their only reference to Ohio. And
right.
Like, okay, at least you've been here and know there's a Shoe. That's good enough to start with. So any last thoughts or takeaways as you think about getting back into the school and, you know, kids? Hopefully this helps to just rejuvenate the idea. Even old ideas presented fresh can help students understand, and they've got so many other things going on in their life that it's nice to know that there is something a little different in the classroom to get excited about for a little while before they go on to whatever it is they may have for the rest of their day. So it's nice to know those things are out there, and the soybean farmers saw this need years ago, and there were others willing to take a lot of time to try to figure out how to put these things together and make them work in afternoons or weekends or whatever to help teachers embrace that. Anything else we ought to know as we think about this concept and helping young people develop careers?
Oh gosh, just please keep doing this. This has been really helpful for me as a professional.
Yeah, and I would reiterate that. And just knowing that the checkoff dollars are being used for education like this.
Yeah.
I grew up on a farm and didn't realize that what the checkoff dollars were used for, what they were, and that's amazing. And I think that I'm going to go back and thank my farmers and thank, you know, my father who grows corn and soybeans and does those kinds of things. So I think that it's a great way of merging our agriculture with education, and because we've all got to eat.
Yep.
And I think that people knowing, kiddos knowing where their food's coming from is critical in them supporting that.
Yeah. I believe there's more than 20 checkoff programs currently underway in Ohio, and all of them have the same mission, because they're called a checkoff: research, education, and promotion of their products. And all are built and funded uniquely different across every spectrum, but all with that same three-step mission as they try to figure out how to do that. And some of them really embrace young people and bring in the workforce, and others, either they're not big or they haven't been able to do that. But it's interesting that we've all come this far. So, Brian and Erica, thanks for taking time out of the session. I'm not sure what you missed. Hopefully it's something that others can refresh real quick for you, or maybe there's a take-home video from another session that you can find out you didn't miss that. But we appreciate you bringing us up to date and help us better understand what goes on in the classes and how you help students in the classroom, because the world's run by those that show up, and you're showing up for kids today and helping them back at home, and we appreciate that.
Thank you. Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Joining me now is Jeannie Gogowski from Grow Next Gen and other categories. We just heard from teachers at Grow Next Gen. Let's put a little wrap on this. They experienced two different Grow Next Gen things now. The first one got them to the second. How many are out there? Are teachers looking for more stuff? Are you developing more? What do you tell people about their ability to get more fresh things in the classroom?
What you heard today was the excitement around learning about agriculture. And these are science teachers. And so these events connect them with deep learning, with resources, with great activities to use in their classroom that are connected to the standards they have to teach every day. So what you heard was a lot of excitement and looking forward to the next thing. So yes, go to the Grow Next Gen website. It's grownextgen.org. Look around. What you're going to see, where you can find classroom activities, you can find workshops on every kind of topic. We were talking about chickenology today, which is about breeding and genetics of chickens. You can have a version of this workshop for younger, for elementary age, called Chick West. We do soil and water workshops. We do biotech workshops. So there are plenty of actually events where you do a deep dive. But you can also find on that website a lot of great resources. You can find speakers for your classroom. You can find college-age students who are trained who can come to your classroom and do activities or come to your STEM night to connect agriculture, one of Ohio's number one industries, with science. And that's our goal. We're so proud of the work that Grow Next Gen is doing, and we're thankful that Ohio's soybean farmers are committed to reaching teachers in Ohio with this important information.
Jeannie, thanks for the update, and thanks also for helping us to share this message with producers out there who probably like to know where their checkoff dollars are going, but sometimes they're busy raising the crop and raising the livestock and don't have time to take that in, and we can provide it as part of a regular programming that we do, and we appreciate you helping us to share that.
Thanks, Dale.